Jill Anderson is a naturalist and plant ecologist. She joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome back, Jill.
Hi.
They don't sound like they have a local name. So why don't you tell me about why we have Lapland longspurs in Cook County? This is not Lap country.
Okay, you're right. This is not Lapland. But Lapland longspurs are a very common bird all across the northern hemisphere. And they also occur in the southern hemisphere. But the Lapland longspur, of course, refers to the fact that they're in this circumboreal region of our Earth that has a lot of marshy, sedgy Arctic tundra habitat, and that's where they breed. So that Lapland appellation, I think, comes from that.
They don't get here from Lapland.
No, our birds that migrate through here, and that's why we see them, is that we're on their way to from the breeding ground at this time of year up in Alaska and the Canadian Arctic, and coming down through the northern part of the U.S., traveling down to where they're going to spend the winter, which is pretty much it's kind of an arc that would go from the northwestern U.S., so where it's pretty much snow-free, anywhere it's snow-free, and that arc would travel down to just south of Minnesota, maybe even in southern Minnesota in years when the snow covers not there, and then it kind of arcs back up, you know, along the south edge of the Great Lakes, and then over to the East Coast. They wouldn't be in Maine and Vermont, New Hampshire, where you get good snow cover, but except for on the coast. But then as you go down into the eastern states and Middle Eastern states, you know, they're ubiquitous in the right kind of open country fields and grassy places that don't get a lot of snow cover, or it's only, you know, intermittent.
So is this the time of year, or the only time of year that we see them? Or?
Someone who spends a lot more time really tracking the birds in both migration seasons would be better able to answer that. This is the time of year when I see them regularly. It's the time that I know that if I pay any attention at all, I'm likely to see them. And they're very likely to show up down along the shore, right in town. You could be out at the Coast Guard Station kind of parking lot, out at the rec park, all those kind of open areas that don't have trees, may have grass, out along Highway 61 along the old beach ridges, east of town. They're going to be looking for seeds in all those open places. And they're called longspurs because they have this long hind toenail that people think is advantageous for running and hopping, because rather than they fly and are quite capable flyers, but they do in their breeding territory, and when they're here foraging, they do a lot of running along the ground. And when they're very they're about 6 or 7 inches long. They have a thick bill, seed eating type bill, a short thick bill. They have more or less black tails, but with a single white outer tail feather, and they're kind of long tails for the size of the bird. And this time of year, you don't see big striking differences in coloration between the males and the females, which you would see in the spring during migration. The males would have some more distinctive coloration, but right now they're very well camouflaged when they're sitting somewhat browned out, you know, lawn or along the edge of the, you know, highway in the mowed ditch or something, because they're a very light brown streaked bird. But they do have rufous patches on their wings, so that can help distinguish them and draw your attention to a group of them. And they have kind of buffy bellies that also have some light streaks on them. So they're really inconspicuous, but for the fact that they travel around usually in fairly good-sized groups, you know, of 10 or more birds.
Well, it sounds like what you just described in terms of their markings, that they're pretty well adapted for the kind of environment they live in.
Exactly.
Grassy stuff.
Right, and they blend in just amazingly well. So I can think of a couple experiences where maybe thinking at some point about seeing birds, I'm walking in a place where they would be likely to be foraging, but I'm not thinking about that. And suddenly, right at my feet, this group of birds, you know, fly. I've completely missed that they were there. They fly up. You see them zoom around together, and then they land maybe 10, 15 feet away, 20 feet away, and they immediately just disappear into the, you know, because they're so beautifully camouflaged. So they're similar in the way they come up and fly ways and land again to snow buntings, which I'm sure people are really
I was just going to say, except that they're probably not going to be in groups right along the road.
Not, I don't see them in groups right along the road like snow buntings. They may be, but that's not where I typically see them. But a real likely place to see them, starting actually any time in the latter part of September and all in, way into October, could be any time. So they can be coming through, you know, for a while now and hanging around and feeding before they head down. And like other birds, they're not going to go out across Lake Superior. They're going to be moving down.
And they're just kind of going to get out of the snow range.
They only go as far south as they really need to, is my impression.
And as seed eaters, they have to go where they're going to be seeds.
Right, seeds available. So they're a fun bird to pay attention to at this time of year, since a lot of our other birds have already flown the coop, so to speak. But an important part of this just amazing fall migration that we get to be treated to every year. I mean, what a gift.
Jill Anderson regularly updates us with the goings-on in our woods and waters. And this time, thanks for telling us about Lapland longspurs, and we'll keep an eye out for those guys.
Okay, you're welcome.